Well, welcome, and so we begin our meditations here at the cross, based on Paul's letter to the Philippians, and particularly chapter 2. And our first session is on Christ and that letter to the Philippians, which opens up the other 8 sessions. The normal reading from Philippians is a better one than I'm going to share with you. It's got the rhythm, because this is a hymn. The quote that he makes about Christ is actually in a hymn form, and it's got a rhythm and to it, and in parts of the Greek a rhyme also. But I've chosen this less rhythmic translation because the words in it better reflect some of the Greek words. So this is Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 to 11. Let this be the disposition that governs in your common life, as is fitting in Christ Jesus. For he, being in the form of God, counted not as plunder equality with God, but emptied himself by taking the form of a slave, being made in the likeness of man, and being found in shape as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, and that death on a cross. Therefore, God also exalted him, and gave him the name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of dwellers in heaven and on the earth and in the underworld, and that every tongue should acclaim him, Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, from an early age, whilst my mother was working, I'd be looked after by a dear elderly lady, old enough to be my grandmother, called Rebecca Broomhead, who lived in an old stone house 100 yards from where I lived. Even as late as 1970, her only source of heat was her fire, which was the source also of the heating of her water in a kind of cauldron next to it. There was only one cold water tap, and lighting was through a gas mantle. She lived in poverty. The baking table that I used to bake on with her is now in the rectory. As I was standing at it with my blob of pastry, other neighbours would visit and give Rebecca some small gift, perhaps some humbugs or the like. She would thank them and place the bag of humbugs in the top drawer of her chest of drawers. While she was there, she would take some other gift deposited there earlier from a previous visitor and give it to the current one. Rebecca and that drawer were the first recycling plant before they were ever invented. And I didn't interpret as a child that what was happening was the abuse of one person's gift by giving it to another, because that wasn't the motive. Instead, what I saw led me to conclude here was an old lady living in poverty, but with the most generous of hearts. No one left her home without a gift, sometimes from the drawer, sometimes from our baking table together. And I loved her for it. And if I have any traces of generosity in my character, I obtained them from her example. So let us now go from Rebecca's parlour to Calvary, where we see a carpenter from Nazareth hanging on a cross. Just as I watched Rebecca at her chest of drawers and drew conclusions about her character, what can we conclude about this carpenter from his life and the scene that we now survey? Some early followers of this carpenter can and have already made their assessment. They produced a hymn used in worship of him and God. This hymn I've just read out to you. We don't know the date this hymn was composed, but it is already really well known, which is why Paul quotes it in his letter to the church community at Philippi. He's writing about AD 60 or through to AD 64. So the hymn must be much earlier in order to have become popular enough for him to use it to his advantage in the argument he is conducting in his letter. It identifies Jesus the carpenter as the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed and chosen one of God. They also conclude that Christ, being in the form of God, did not desperately hang on to this equality with God. And here, the Greek word for form is morphē, which means substantively the same. Substantively the same as God. Instead of clinging on to this position, the hymn goes on to say that he emptied himself. In other words, just as Rebecca did not cling onto the gifts in the drawer for herself, but emptied the drawer for the sake of others, so Christ does not cling on to godly powers and status, but empties himself of them for the sake of others. He then takes on the likeness of a man. The word in Greek for likeness has a very similar connotation as morphē. But it means he has, therefore, the substance of human nature, but everything isn't quite as it appears. There is also divinity behind this human form. But when he is in this human form, he further submits himself in order to be a slave of humanity, even to the point of dying on the cross that we now sit before. And prior to this hymn, Paul has urged us to, quote, count others better than yourselves, verse 3, and to consider not our own rights, but those of other people, verse 4. What we're being asked to do is copy Christ. We're being asked to empty ourselves as the Word or Son of God emptied himself to become human, and then to empty himself further, to die on behalf of humanity in order to save them. This hymn takes the Christ and makes deductions about the character of God from the character of his Christ and of Christ's behavior. And in the next 8 reflective sessions, we'll look at the implications of this upon the nature of God, upon the relationship between God and all of creation in general, upon the relationship between God and human beings, upon the nature of love itself, upon the question of suffering and pain in general creation and amongst humans, and what this will do to inform us on what kind of behavior we should adopt. By observing Rebecca's actions, I made conclusions about her character and nature. I was drawn to copy her approach to life. Here, we are asked to observe Christ's actions, especially his death on the cross, and make conclusions about God's nature and character on the one hand, and copying his character, what actions are commended to us to become truly human. We're in a hall of mirrors. God is reflected in Christ. Christ should be reflected in me as a Christian, a follower of Christ. And much of this turns on the process of emptying ourselves as the Word or Son emptied himself in order to assume our humanity. So when you look at Christ on the cross before you now, what assessment do you make? And what challenge to you does his self-emptying pose to your lifestyle?